Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. I'm so grateful for my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida, in partnership with them to be able to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord with you over the airways. And then we have our friends over at WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is just to come together to hear the heart of the Lord. And if you've been with us, you know that all of my messages deal with portraits of God. I see portraits of God throughout the Scripture. Last month, we did a portrait of God talking about how He is our baseline peace. Today, I want to start a series for September talking about how He is our deeper dive. Yeah, I know that one sounds a little unusual. Actually, we're going to look at five other portraits of God under this particular heading. It's an exciting series I can't wait to unpack for you here as we spend the next few weeks together in this particular series, discovering how the Lord is our deeper dive. And if you have a Bible handy, I'm going to be starting us off in Psalm 42 today. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. You'll see just a few gray boxes on the landing page. The one that says broadcasts, click on that. And then on the next landing page, just click on portraits of God, and then you'll get a list of all of these messages, 27 minutes long, that you hear on the airway. So you can get caught up or share with others or listen again, whatever you'd like to do. By the way, on that first landing page, other gray boxes have things like videos, 3-minute videos that have portraits of God. Also articles that I've written for publications, and encouraging articles. Also, I have printed guides, outlines, diagrams of hot topics that we deal with in the Christian life, and also some character heart issue topics that is there for you for quick reference in your journey with the Lord. All of them having one goal in mind: to help you hear God. And that's what we want to do today. We want to hear the Lord. And as we get ready to walk through His scriptures, His love letters to us together, let's just go before the Lord, as is our custom, and ask Him to speak. Well, Father, I am very, very grateful for the privilege of being able to come together with my brothers and sisters all these years, just to sit at your feet and do my best to just share the things that I've been learning in my journey with you, and I hope, Lord, it will be helpful for their journey. Oh, and today, as we look at how you are our deeper dive, and that no matter how deep our valleys, you are deeper still, and we can just keep diving and diving and find that you are there for us. But unpacking the specifics of that is what I'm so excited about as we start this journey. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege of walking through the scriptures together to hear your heart and see your portrait. Oh, thank you, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you're over in Psalm 42, I want to start us off in verse 1 and go to verse 2 and then 5 and then 7, where we're going to get this portrait of God as our deepest or our deeper dive, because He keeps getting deeper and deeper, whatever we need. So here we go. The scripture says this in Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks. Oh, so my soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then in verse 5, why are you in despair, my soul? And why are you restless within me? And then verse 7, deep calls to deep. I have absolutely loved that so many years. It is so descriptive, so powerful. It really reflects how we can get into very, very deep, deep despair in our soul. We can get listless, we can get restless, we can get upset, confused, disoriented, yearning for God, panting for God. I love that picture, how we pant for something. You've ever been running a marathon or something, or even less than that, just running whatever distance, it caused you to get so tired, you're just panting. Oh, oh, can't wait for that first sip of water and then drinks of water. What a descriptive passage here in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Why are you in despair, my soul? Why are you restless within me? Oh, deep calls to deep. My friend, I hope the Lord is bringing to mind some seasons in your life, and you may be in one right now, where the deepest parts of your soul are just in turmoil and you're yearning for something deeper. That's deep calling to deep. And the Lord, our deeper dive, yearns for us to remember that no matter how deep our valleys, He is deeper still. So I had the privilege of sharing a portion of this message yesterday in one of our churches. And for the cells, for the PowerPoint and stuff, I chose a background of two divers going into a deep underwater cavern that's just breathtakingly beautiful. But it's also mysterious and kind of even dangerous unless you really know what you're doing. And you know, to me, I felt like that was a great backdrop for this particular portrait of God, how He is our deeper dive. The Lord yearns for us to go deeper and deeper in Him. And so I have five more portraits of God under this topic of how He is our deeper dive that actually is a progression of how we experience the Lord in our journey through salvation when we first get saved, and then as we kind of are little children in the Lord, and then as we continue to grow, all the different ways that we can interrelate with the Lord, experience the Lord heart to heart in progressive ways that are deeper and deeper and more mysterious as we go along. And you know, I hope that you'll listen to these series of broadcasts on how the Lord is our deeper dive in two ways. One is to how to apply this and actually discover where you are in your journey in this progression. How deeply do you go to experience the Lord? And then to be so familiar with this progression that you'll be able to share it with others so they too can experience some practical ways to understand how deep the Lord is for us and how deep He yearns for us to dive. All right, that's where we're going. Now, let me just kind of highlight this whole concept here, because when you think, for example, of the burning bush, remember when Moses was at the burning bush and he had his encounter with the Lord, and the Lord was conversing with Moses and manifesting Himself as a burning bush on that particular occasion there on Mount Horeb. One of the most intriguing things among many that the Lord said there was when He answered Moses' question, "When people ask me your name, what shall I tell them?" And the Lord gives an answer that I remember when I first heard it as a boy, I'm going, "What?" Because He said, "Tell them, I am that I am." What kind of a name is that, I am? Well, here's the insight to that. The Lord is basically saying to Moses, "I am whatever you need, whatever they will need. Just keep diving deeper." The Lord is our deeper dive. He is whatever we need at whatever depth, with whatever depth of valley we're experiencing. He's even deeper than that valley if you'll just dive deeper. So I'm going to give you these five to give you a just something to think through. And by the way, it's not like you get to one level and you're there, the next one that you're there. No, it's like the water. You'll be going in and out with the different depths. Different will come up. And so in different issues, in different situations, in different seasons of your life, you'll be kind of swimming and floating and all these different depths of these different portraits that I'm about to unfold for you in the next few weeks. So this is why I'm calling the overarching series title, He is Our Deeper Dive. He is whatever we need. I am who I am. It's just a matter of how deeply you want to dive. So let's look at the first of five depths or levels of experiencing the Lord and our salvation experience with Him as it's worked out over time in our lives and in those around us in their journeys with the Lord as well. To do so, let's start over in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. We're leaving Psalm 42 now, going to Matthew 9, 36. And here's the first portrait and how we experience God in the journey of salvation. It says in Matthew 9, 36, that Jesus was seeing the clouds. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that fascinating? What another wonderful picture of the Lord, His compassion for this crowd of people, because He just didn't see a mass of bodies there, generic humanity. The Lord was seeing their heart of hearts. And He was seeing that in the deeper recesses of everybody's soul, they were distressed and downcast sheep without a shepherd. So there's a couple of applications I'm going to highlight here as we look at this first portrait of the five about how He is our deeper dive. Level one is He is our merciful Savior. He is our merciful Savior. Listen, it's pretty simple. When we first get saved, when we first really understand our desperate need for the Savior, and we come to Christ, we see that it is His mercy that saves us. It is His grace that saves us. He is our merciful Savior. He is one who sees our distress, sees us being downcast, and He doesn't get turned off by it. This is it. What messy sheep? What smelly sheep? What ornery sheep? I'm out of here. No. He felt compassion for them, and He feels compassion for us, and He yearns to save us. So let me unpack this a little more. You know, I love the word downcast in this particular passage because it's a reference to a lamb who has actually stumbled and fallen over on its back. And because this lamb has so much wool, it cannot get right side up again. He cannot get the leverage to get back on his little black feet again because of all that wool, and he's upside down, those little legs dangling in the air, and he is going to die. She is going to die if a merciful shepherd doesn't come along and go, bless your heart, look what you did to yourself. Let me get you back on your feet. Now, that sounds kind of easy in that picture. In fact, if we were also to use the analogy of, say, a turtle that's gotten flipped over and it's spinning around on the pavement on its shell, it can't right itself as well, just like the sheep can't do so. It needs a merciful driver to pull over on the side of the road and go out to the road and pick that thing up and put it in safety. That's us, my friend. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wants to save us, to rescue us from our plight, being downcast sheep, unable to get ourselves right side up. And sheep will actually die unless a merciful shepherd, a merciful Savior, comes along. You know, the scripture gets very specific about our condition in Ephesians 2. It talks about how we, as the unbelievers, we are blinded by the God of this world. Can you imagine that? We're blinded by the God of this world. We cannot see the truths of God. We get glimpses, we get senses and stuff, but you know, if you were to take a blind person to an art museum and stand in front of the Rembrandts or Van Goghs or some wonderful paintings and say, look at that, isn't it breathtaking? They'd say, no, I can't see it. Well, open your eyes, man, look at that. I'm blind. Well, just open your eyes wider. No, I'm blind, you don't understand, I'm blind, I can't see it. It would be cruel to do that to a person that cannot see. You can't force people to see. A miracle has to happen. And somehow in the salvation equation, when the Lord sees a heart that wants to be saved, that recognizes that they are downcast sheep, that they are blinded by the God of this world. And in fact, another scripture says how we need to come to our senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So there's another very graphic description of the condition of a lost person. Upside down and can't get right side up. Blinded, we're captive. It's like being in a dungeon, hanging upside down with our hands tied behind our back, again, totally blind, swaying to and fro, saying, I'm glad I have control of my life. I don't want to give up control of this great life I have. We don't get it. We don't see how bad a shape we are in. But the Lord does. And he sees us in that condition. And he yearns to draw us unto himself. And he yearns for us to have our eyes opened. And we humbly recognize, wow, in this Cinderella story and Jesus being Prince Charming, I'm not Cinderella. I'm one of the evil stepsisters. Chew on that one for a moment. Nobody likes to see themselves as the stepsisters. Selfish, bratty, sassy. We like to see ourselves as the Cinderella, humble, servant-hearted, loving, kind, beautiful. And who wouldn't want to marry somebody like that? But that's not the gospel. The gospel is we are downcast sheep. We are blinded by the God of this world. We're held captive by him to do his will. We're in rebellion against God. We are sinful, 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 doomed to an eternity away from God. Spiritual death, hell. And when we see that, and we cry out to God, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner. Lord, I don't know what's going on here. All I know is I need some serious help. I need a Savior. That's when our merciful Savior is there. And that's when he offers salvation. He offers to covenant with us, enter a personal covenant relationship, like getting married. We'll see that later, actually. And he offers that to us, even though we are an evil stepsister. But he is saying, come to me, give everything you have, all that you are, to me, and I will save you, and I will transform you, and I will change you. But you have to admit how bad your condition is. You have to see that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But as many as will receive him, accept him, to them he will give the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of these classic scriptures drawing us unto the Lord. And when he sees that we have a heart that really wants to be rescued, he becomes our merciful Savior. Turns us back on our feet from being a downcast sheep, unblinds our eyes, frees us up from being captive by the enemy to do his will. And now we're freed up to do the will of God. My friend, when you think back on your day of salvation, if you're one who's already saved, if you're one who's already had that time in your life when you've said, Lord, I can't do this. Everything I have, all that I am, I give to you. I repent. I turn my life over to you. Please save me. I mean, there's so many ways to pray it and say it, but the Lord looks at the heart. When you are really there, not just wanting to get a fire insurance policy, well, I better do the salvation thing because I do want to go to heaven. And so you pray the magic prayer and you get the fire insurance policy so you don't go to hell and stuff like that. And then you just live like the devil because now you're once saved, always saved. Okay, that's not the gospel. That's a caricature of the gospel. Anybody who wants to continue to live sinfully and like the devil after they supposedly get saved, that's proof of the fact they never were saved. Because salvation is a heart thing. It's a heart that is totally changed. It is a mind that has been totally changed. Repentance is a change of mind, specifically, by definition. And it's like you're heading in one direction, doing your own thing, your own way, because you're utterly selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed. And you're headed that way, away from the cross, but somehow, some way, the truth of the gospel comes that Jesus Christ is willing to be your merciful Savior, and your eyes are open and you see your darkened condition, your upside down condition, your blind condition, your captive condition. You go, oh my goodness, do I need a Savior? I am toast. Lord, will you please save me? Will you please receive me as your own? And he will see that heart and he will say, absolutely. Come. And you, my friend, will be born again, saved. You'll enter covenant with Jesus Christ. We say it so many ways. You'll become part of the family of faith, adopted as sons and daughters. I love, by the way, how you have the adoption metaphor in some portions of Scripture, but then you have the born again into the family or born into the family metaphor. The Lord just uses a lot of different ways so that we will get it and that we will be captivated by the wonder and the miracle of how he has saved us from a desperate plight and a desperate destiny. We are downcast sheep. We are the evil stepsisters. We are blind. We are captive. We are totally sinful. We are doomed to hell when we die physically. And my friends, the Lord wants to totally rescue from that. I love how the psalmist says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, Lord. Because sometimes we can lose our sense of awe and wonder and gratefulness at the simple fact of our salvation, though it's an incredibly supernatural and powerful act of God. The first layer, the first depth into our deeper dive, because he is our deeper dive, is discovering him as our merciful Savior. Utterly grateful for being rescued. You know, there have been five times when I've almost been killed between car wrecks and bicycle wrecks and several different things and water rapids, you know, sort of the rapids. There have been five times in my life I've almost died, come very, very close. But the Lord has allowed me to be spared. And oh, how grateful I am. Well, let me tell you something. That's just physical death. When the Lord saved me from spiritual death forever and ever, oh, my friend, that is something to be grateful for. The Lord is our deeper dive. He is our merciful Savior. But don't stop there. A lot of people just, okay, I got saved. It's the done deal. And now the journey is over. No, it's just the beginning. Because the waters that you're in when you get saved are the initial level of waters. But there are deeper places to go, my friend. And as we continue this journey this month, on how the Lord is our deeper dive. He is going to be drawing you deeper and deeper into the mysterious wonder and beauty of all the ways He is whatever we need, whenever we need it. If we can just not be so distracted, if we just not become tone deaf from all the noise of this world screaming for our attention, and all the wounds and heartaches and heartbreaks and disappointments and betrayals we have to deal with in our own hearts that's noisy, and all the things that are happening in our culture, you know, with all of the different social things that are going on and the controversies and the all of those things, so noisy. We need to be still and know that He is God, and our journey starts as He, our deeper dive, begins our journey by being our merciful Savior. Wow. Well, Lord, I do pray that You will restore in each of us the joy of our salvation. Lord, we tend to take things for granted so often, especially those of us that live in affluent cultures and have things pretty much at our beck and call. But Lord, we know there's a lot of deep things going on and deep calls to deep. So thank You for being the Lord, our deeper dive. Thank You for drawing us into Yourself, because seeing us, You felt compassion for us because we were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Thank You for saving us, O Lord. Thank You for being our merciful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, your merciful Savior.